Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT News Team.
Good afternoon. I'm Maggie Wald with the KMXT News Team, and I'm here with a group of people from Chiniac. Today, we want to talk about the fire. I want to thank Betty O'Dell, who is here. She set this up, and thank you all for coming in. So I want to introduce everybody. As I normally do, I start here on the left, John. So tell me who you are, what you do around town, how people might know you, and where were you when the fire happened? We can get into more details. But
so this is John Butler, and retired now. I live in Chiniac. And where was I when the fire happened? I was right in the middle of it in Chiniac at that time.
All righty. And then we'll talk to Betty.
I'm Betty O'Dell. I've lived in Kodiak for almost 50 years. So it's I've lived out in Chiniac most of those years as well. And we were home the night of the fire, sitting in our living room reading when the power went out. So since it was 9 o'clock and getting dark, I decided to go to bed. So my husband stayed up, and when he learned about the fire an hour or two later, he came and got me, and I still stayed home. We did not evacuate. The fire was about 2 miles from us, and we ended up housing a few families from the other end of Chiniac. So anyway, it was a long night, and I'll let the others speak.
I was going to say, you're looking at your husband there. Dave.
Yeah, my name's Dave O'Dell. I'm retired, and I've lived out in Chiniac almost 40 years. And the night of the fire, the power went out, like Betty said, but we had no idea there was a fire going on. Our kids, our son was on the North Slope, and our daughter was living up in Anchorage. They knew about the fire before we did, with social media. So then I went out and helped just get people out of their houses when we got word of the fire.
What time of the day was it?
9 o'clock at night.
9 o'clock at night. So comparing to what it is now, it's still light, but thinking about getting dark by then. Yeah. And so I could see why a person would just go to bed and just say, okay, we'll deal with that later. Okay. So I just wanted to put that in perspective. Mo.
Mo Butler. And, we bought a place out in Chiniac and went out for weekends when we were working in town and raising the kids. And so we've had our place for 36 years. But it just happened that was we sold our house in town.
Yes.
And we both retired. And that was the last day that we were moving all of our stuff out there that the fire happened. So actually it started before 8, and the power went out. We were out trying to take down the tarp that was blowing around from the windstorm. And we decided, and I called KEA and said, the power's out now. And we didn't know the fire had started at that time, that the tree had fallen on the power line at that time. And after we got the tarp down, we took the dog down to the beach just to see how the waves were coming in because it was blowing so hard. And that's when we saw the smoke. And I was frantically calling 911 every few minutes. We went back home to get all of our we ran into Johnny Boats when we started heading towards the fire because it was past Twin Creeks, about almost a mile, that we saw the smoke in there. And we ran into Johnny Boats coming the other way. And he says, I'm going to get the key so we can get into the logging road at the bottom of Twin Creeks there. And so we went and got our chainsaw and our shovels and boots and stuff, headed back. And by that time, it had already come almost a mile. So It was burning so fast, we knew that our shovels and chainsaw weren't going to do any good.
Joanne.
Yeah, hello. Joanne Brody. And I have a place in Chiniac that I've had since about 1981. And I've lived out there for a number of years and spend a great deal of time there still. Had just done some upgrades, spent a lot of money fixing it up nicer, and was in town when I heard about it. I headed first straight to Dead Man's Curve with my husband, and we looked at it, and And we decided it would be a great idea to go up on top Pillar Mountain and see it better. And we got up there, and it was actually horrifying what we saw. And on top of just the blaze and me assuming that the entire neighborhood was gone, it was really windy up there, and rocks and gravel were flying, and the car was shimmying and shaking, and I was begging my husband to drive me back down the hill because I was getting sick to my stomach, just out of angst, I guess. We finally started heading down. He found a ride to go back up. I guess he wanted to watch it. It was horrifying, and I think many of us still have some PTSD because of it. And I guess maybe I was thinking because it's been so dry that I'll put a little note out there for people to, I don't know, I wish there was a fire ban right now, personally.
Right, because there was a fire ban there for a little bit last month, June. I'm not sure when, but sometime during there was a fireworks ban. And then there were fire bans on the mainland, I think. I could be wrong here. John?
There is a fire ban here. There's no open burning, which means branches, trash, things of that sort. But you can still have barbecues and contained fires, per se, like a fire pit, things of that nature. You're okay to burn, which is surprising with as dry as it's been.
Right. And so I was here, but I didn't know anything about it. I live in the flats. I slept right through it. And I guess, because I'm not glued to my telephone, I was not working at KMXT then. KMXT had a lot of really good coverage. That was a good thing that they did, and that's one of the things we try to do here at KMXT. But I had no idea about it until I saw the picture on the paper. The next morning, I thought, what? There was a fire? And it makes me feel bad to know that my friends were, suffering and going through that, and I had no idea. And it just kind of makes me think sometimes, a little more philosophically, why do some people have to deal with bad things and others not? And just, how in Kodiak we all know each other or know of each other. And, there are a lot of people in town who have no association with Chiniac that were really there for you, thinking of you, and still do. And like you said, Joan, PTSD, I would imagine it's terrifying, absolutely terrifying.
We thought, even though we were there, even watching from Twin Creeks after they evacuated us, then we thought that everything was gone, just standing very close and watching it. And from town, it was even a bigger shock for people, I think. I saw a lot of pictures from Dead Man's and from Pillar, and it was very scary.
Horrifying.
Horrifying, yeah. And the fire just looked... I've never seen fires like that. I mean, not in real life.
We assumed we had lost everything that was there. So did everybody else.
And you had just moved.
Well, we had had that place for 30 years.
Right, but you had just finally moved all your things in, and there was the fire, right?
I grabbed the glass balls and some artwork and the iPads, And then we went up to help. Sarah Fish lives behind us, and she has animals. And so the Penningtons came, and they didn't know where they lived. And we went up with them, and I watched the kids while they loaded the animals, and the Penningtons took them to safety. And by the time we were done with that, they wouldn't let us go back and finish loading our stuff. They said, nope, you're not going in there.
Now that you've left,
so then we went to Twin Creeks for a few hours and watched it burn and just thought, well, it's gone. And then we went to town and unloaded, and we went back and spent the night out at Mayflower and watched it burn.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, and I have to add, too, that I wasn't just fearful for our homes. I was worried that there were firemen out there because it just looked, the wind was horrible.
Right. Those things that you see on television or on the internet were really happening.
Some people were angry out there that the fire department didn't come right out and start working on it, but... really, when it comes to a wildfire, there was nothing they could have done, and I don't think they realized that, right? I mean, they flew in the smoke jumpers and the firefighters, over 100 of them, the next day, and they worked at digging and trying to put out, and so, that was a whole nother job, and the community really pitched in. I mean, we had truckloads of stuff being brought out for the firemen, and for the people that needed food.
We were lucky that no one was killed, and what, one house and...
The tsunami shelter burned.
Yeah. Right. Is that the library?
Right.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the KMXT stories call it the library. But not the school, but it was near the school.
Very, very close.
So word had come out during the night that the school had burned. You know, there was some misinformation out there, but it wasn't until daylight that mm-hmm. when they allowed us to go out to the other end.
And we did. I know that there was a lot of people out there, but we got buckets, and we were actually in the streams right by the school and up in behind by Alana's house, and we were putting out, because it was smoldering and still burning, and the firefighters weren't all there yet. So the next day, we were really busy by the school, because it was probably within 10 feet of the school building that it was still smoldering and burning. It was pretty scary.
Yeah.
And there were several members that lived out there, and they stayed, right. even though they were supposed to evacuate, but they stayed there to help protect the houses out there.
Yes.
And they might have saved houses or at least kept them...
So yeah. Luckily they were all safe. But, you know, to me it's a chance to acknowledge all the emergency services, all the people that are involved in that, you know, from the state troopers to DOT to the hospital to the doctors and nurses and staff that get called in to the radio stations that keep us updated on what's going on. To KEA, actually, we got power back on a few hours later.
They were wonderful.
Yeah.
And the schools opened up for people that needed places to stay.
Yeah.
So it was certainly a test of the emergency system and how it all works, and it works.
Now, Betty, you sent me something here, and I'm going to open it up, because I say to myself, well, sheesh, I cannot remember. I've been here 40 years or so. I remember once or twice we've had wildfires in the bushes, I mean, in the grasslands. And Woody Island once, I think. But I don't remember any fire like this ever the whole time I've been here. And I could be clueless, because I was more clueless when I was much younger. But Betty, can I read this here?
You bet.
Okay, so Betty sent me a text from August 30th, 2015. It's a text that she had sent to her family. Hi, Mom and Dad. I asked a friend who is a climatologist in Anchorage if he knew anything about other fires in Kodiak. This is what he said. That fire seems to come out of the blue. Looking at the Alaska Interagency Fire Center's historical fire database, only three other fires on Kodiak Island since 1950 have been larger. There was a 3,000-acre fire at Larson Bay in October 1996, a 15,000-acre fire near Mosier Bay in April 1997, and a 34,000-acre fire also near Mosier Bay in November 1950. Note that all of them are outside the typical fire season. My guess is that they occurred during strong northerly wind events like the one on Thursday. So the winds were strong out of the north during that night, yes?
Yes.
North-northwest.
Right off the beach towards our places.
Yeah, and I just want to acknowledge here, Larson Bay had this fire. I was here during this time, October 1996. I don't remember it. And then Mosier Bay, but Larson Bay is one of our villages, very much like Chiniac.
Right.
So I just wanted to acknowledge that. So this was abnormal. Did they ever tell you anything more about?
Well, to me, the fire wasn't abnormal. What was abnormal was the wind that we had for the time of year. We don't normally get such a strong wind in the summer months. And I mean, when we went to the beach, I had gone before Mo had with me, and I went down and was watching it, and I come back and got her. I said, you've got to come to the beach. You've got to see this. You never see it. But the wind was so strong on the beach, it was literally picking up the sand and blowing it across. So, you know, I've seen a lot of winds out there before, but never so strong that it would do that. So here it is, just blowing sand down the beach. And so we went down to look at that. And that's when
we
noticed
spotted the smoke.
And then we spotted mm-hmm. the smoke. And I said, that distance. Looks like smoke. That can't be, you know, nobody would be dumb enough to be lighting a fire at this time. And so then we kind of walked around on the beach, and then I looked, and it bothered me. So I looked back again, and I said, Moe, that is smoke. There's no doubt that is smoke. And so that's when I said, we got to go check this out. And that's when we loaded up and headed, you know, down the road to see if there was something we could do. But by then it had just gone nuts. I mean, it was fuel fed.
And the wind blew it so fast that it's amazing some places that it blew over. And it blew so fast that within the 15 minutes it took us to go get our stuff, it had come almost a mile. And
right.
It was all the way to the top of the trees and coming. But it was also the wind that saved our homes. It blew so hard that it blew it back. And most of the homes are close to the road, and it blew it back. And it blew it all the way to the other side of the island
in
parts.
I did find a branch in our yard later on that was a burnt branch that came from the fire. So, you know, the winds had swirled it around and it had dropped this branch in our yard. And I still have it.
I think there was a slight shift there, too.
Towards the end of it,
Behind Sue's house, it was hitting her trees, and then it started going a little more
right behind
us all.
Then
they were thinking about evacuating Passaic. It was going so fast and so furious.
The Burtons did leave out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
Yeah, because it wasn't, you know, if the wind had changed just a little bit, it could have been a lot worse. It hit the other side.
And on top of the wind, it was a drought year.
Yeah.
That's the
one of the
major reasons that fire caught on.
Right.
You know, an interesting thing, what do you take when you get notice that you need to evacuate and evacuate now? Well, Dave went out. We had our boat hooked up to the pickup truck. Well, he went out and unhooked it so that in the event we were going to leave quickly, we just took off. And yet our neighbors hooked up their truck to their boat because they wanted to take their boat. So I thought, well, that's kind of interesting.
Well, I definitely grabbed the quilts and the glass balls and the artwork and everything I could. I started piling in boxes. And then I started looking around thinking, what else am I going to bring? This is all just stuff, you know? So we just finally just like, nope, we're done.
It can all be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We were already planning on what we were going to do to rebuild out there as we watched it burning that night. But
it was impressive when we were at Twin Creeks and looking back. And we'd see these explosions in the sky, you know, when you're watching, and all at once you just see an explosion, and I'd think, wow, there went a propane tank, or there went an oil tank. What it was trees. When it hit certain trees, they just explode into flame. And, you know, we were watching with binoculars and whatnot, and I'm going, well, that's probably our house. It just went up. And it wasn't. It was just more trees.
We're getting hundreds of texts, both of us. And
Oh,
our son-in-law is going around the Cape in a boat, fishing boat. He shouldn't have been out there in that wind. But he said, you know, it looks like it's burning all the way down to the ground. And then the radio announced that King Crab Way was completely engulfed in flames. And that's where our house is. And we just assumed everything was gone. And it was amazing the next day when we drove out and you could still see unburned trees and homes along
there. Yeah, how
it
skipped and hopped. It was really
unbelievable. Still burning and smoldering, but we were pretty lucky that the wind kept the houses safe.
Yeah, no kidding.
A long time ago now it was. It doesn't seem that long ago. There were massive fires near Fairbanks, and my sister came to visit, and we went to Chena Hot Springs. And that the firefighters were staying there because they were battling fires all in that area. But the road was clear, and as you drove by, you could see burn, burn, burn. And there's a perfectly fine tree, nothing on it.
Yeah.
And over there, three or four of them, and then solid burn. And look, there's a perfectly fine tree that jumps. It was just amazing to me, mind-boggling to see that fire could jump like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that explains it, the winds, the dynamics.
The dynamics of the ground. And
Yeah,
kind of on the humorous side, we had been hauling asphalt out to our driveway, and it doesn't come out that hot when you bring it in the back of your pickup truck, but we were packing it the best we could, and we figured, well, if nothing else, the fire probably melted that in really nice, and we'd have at least a driveway left.
That was my first thought. Oh, right. It melted it. And for those of us, you are joining us, you're listening to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, and we have several members from the Chiniac community here talking about the big fire that was 4 years ago. And again, thank you to Betty for organizing this, but thank you all for coming in and sharing, because probably some of these memories you don't want to remember or think of it's in the past. Do you think that, or is this something you talk about at Christmas time, or what do you do with it now that you've become a part of your life?
Oh, I just, anymore, as far as I look at it, I just go, geez, I guess no real big urban renewal, because we didn't lose our house. and that's a joke, by the way. But
wait, urban renewal. We have urban renewal after the earthquake. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's. I don't have what you call. I do have a lot of fond memories about it because of the effort that everybody put in during the fire and after the fire, especially after the fire. It's amazing how Kodiak once again comes together. It always does. And I think that happens everywhere. When I stop and think about it, I mean, it really does in communities. You just don't see it as much. So I have a lot of memories about that. So talking about the fire doesn't bother me one bit because of all the good things that come out of it from people getting together and pulling together. And I think of the smoke jumpers and the firefighters. And I do think the firefighters that were shipped in here and talking to them. And you got to give them guys credit because they're right in the midst of it with shovels and picks and boots and gear, heavy gear and whatnot, and a sandwich for lunch and a bottle of water. But they're sitting there praising the smoke jumpers and saying how brave these people are and whatnot and what how knowledgeable and smart they are. And it was very impressive. And then I look beyond to the trees that had to come down. And at one point I was talking to the firefighters and they said, you know, if you look at these spruce trees and you look at the base of them, they build up a lot of moss, dirt, and grass and whatnot around the base of the trees. If that is jeopardized by a fire and it gets to where the fire can burn underneath the tree, the root area and whatnot, that kills the tree. So I look at that and I go, oh, okay. So in reality, these trees, the majority of them, were damaged just by the fire. They needed to come down, even though they may not have been burned up above. They may have been looking good, but at the base, they were damaged. Over a period of time, they were going to blow over, fall down, whatever, rot, and so on. So I learned some things out of it, too, as well.
That was ours thinking. You probably learned a lot about stuff. When would we ever come in contact with that?
You take it for granted, you know, and so.
Well, after the logging, that was our precious stand of trees there on the borough property behind our places. And we were pretty sad that they had to take them, you know, that they burned and they had to take them down. But
they are a renewable resource, so they will grow back.
Yeah. We were hoping it would burn the slash piles that were left out there down to the ground, but no, it seemed to go right over all those.
Too dense. And because of it also, we're still trying to make our home safer for fire, more defensible. So we've been taking other trees down, and then because of the lack of trees behind us, we're also having some wind fall too. So we've just still been staying busy, so the fire is still always in my mind because that's kind of why we're doing that.
Right, right.
Every wind, there's trees going down out there. And
then do you get nervous when it's real windy again?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, quite often.
Yeah.
Yeah, I once had the roof, literally, the whole thing went off. It was, you remember that?
Yeah, I've never seen
the shed
that,
roof.
Yeah.
And it went off in one big piece. And then after that, it was like every time it would get windy and the house is up on pilings and so it moves. And it was like I would get so anxious for the longest of time, like, is the roof going to go?
Yeah.
Mostly we got to just count our blessings, though, and it's not a bad thing to look back on. I mean, it's a big piece of history, but we were all so lucky. No lives lost, and we have a better understanding of these other people going through the fires and how it jumps around from house to house, like down in California when it was burning, and now Alaska's basically on fire, and, you know, we know what they're going through and have more empathy for it.
Right. And I suppose it makes you appreciate the Chiniac community more, that you've been through this together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People who tend to go through things mm-hmm. together tend to be bound in a way that others aren't.
Yeah, I think, you know, it made us closer in that way.
We're coming up toward the end of the show here, and I want to ask, since you guys brought this up, Betty brought it up, what kind of advice do you have for people about fires in your home, or like in Bell's Flats, we have all that grass. It makes me nervous to have a barbecue because a little spark could go set that grass off. You know, what kind of advice do you have, like clearing the areas? We don't think of those things because we don't have fires here often. What did you learn about what to grab first? Is there anything you didn't grab that you thought, oh my gosh, I wish I'd gotten that?
I know a lot of people afterwards were clearing around like at least 8 feet around their house, because I think like with Alana's, it had just been cleared because they were reciting it. Eli cleared it around, and that house actually burned all the way up to it and around it. And I think that a lot of people have been more cautious about clearing around their houses and getting all the brush and stacks of stuff away from their house. So I think that that's one really important thing.
That's one of the things they do on the Kenai Peninsula, is they tell you clear away.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And on the same vein as that, one of the firefighters told one of my neighbors that, you know, we all have a lot of plastic totes and things, and those are actually hazardous for firemen to be working around when those start burning and smoking.
Do you mean like Moe's buoys?
Maybe. So anyway, if there's some of those that you don't need around, it might not be a bad idea to find a different place for them.
I got lots of totes.
There was someone that came around shortly after the fire to give people advice on their properties, what they can do. I think mostly identifying trees that would come down, but unfortunately we were gone, so we missed out on that.
Yeah,
but we know the trees that need to come down on our property, so I guess we can renew that discussion again. It's a big job taking trees down.
It really
is.
The
limbs, oh, God, it's a lot of work.
And that's part of the reason we live out there, though, too, is because of being in the forest, you know, having that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And then to clear cut it,
yeah,
it's not what we really want to do. But
now?
You take your chances.
Right.
Protect your home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to me that none of you regret the choice of not taking certain, you know, you always hear, well, I want to take the photos or the wedding gown. That's what my sister always says. Grab the wedding gown. Oh. You know, things like that.
I grabbed the photos, actually. I grabbed the tote of photos, and I grabbed the quilts and the art and stuff. Uh-huh. As much as I could. I mean, you don't have
some
time to take
work.
Everything. But mostly I just stood around frantic looking, what should I take? What should I take? Maybe you should have a list. I don't know.
Or like a go bag. I've been working on a go bag in case we have a tsunami, what to take, you know, medicines and stuff. But that's different than evacuating a house.
Right.
Yeah. What were you saying, Dave?
Well, I know one neighbor I kind of helped leave. He grabbed all of his guns. First thing, he wanted to get out.
Oh. They're valuable, though.
Yeah.
I'd grab the passports.
They're hard to replace.
Yeah.
They're a real nuisance to replace. Well, hey, we are out of time here, and this is I don't want to say it was fun. I don't. It was interesting. I learned a lot, and you guys all have such good spirits about it. I'm glad to see that. I'm going to let everybody know we've been talking to some of the community members from Chiniac, and we had John and Betty and Dave and Mo and Joanne, and I appreciate you all coming in and taking care of that, letting us know. It was a very nice, Betty. Thank you for setting this up, and thank you everybody for coming in. You're listening to KMXT's Talk of the Rock. I'm Maggie Wall, and this is KMXT Kodiak.